Blog Talk Radio.
3 minute warning.
DFL baby.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard hitting, high scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the ad. Come on, go, go, go. Be a bit. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have a little popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it. They tucked into their little beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend, and future owner. Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Givermadine. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man, John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson. Rob, the pistol, J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duvetien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormsbecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron, William, the meathead Freeland. Jarrett, the roadie, and Box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble Cable Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a to listen to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator Crump. Frank, the mascot Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream Queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Oh, here it is. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. I tried calling Christopher, and there he is. And there he is. I think we got him. All right. Short, shallow crowd tonight. Mike Townsend might be joining us a little later, but... I'm working the back 40, and I'm building a shed. You know, we're allowed to build a shed up to 100 square feet. You want me to call you, Christopher? No message, no nothing. Anyway, so I'm building the shed, and I'm peeking through the roof. I'm putting the roof on, and didn't realize the kind of damage you could do to yourself on two of the hottest days here in God's country, Southern Ontario. And around 8 o'clock, I fell asleep on the chair. Around 9 o'clock, my wife's tapping me going, time to do the show. Time to do the show. And I'm going, oh. I don't know if that's the sound I made, but that's what I felt like I should be making. That's the sound. Oh, God. I felt like throwing up. I was dizzy. It was terrible. Terrible. And you know, I hydrate all day. I mean, it's not like I'm not hydrating. So be careful out there on those hot days, folks. It's probably a late message. You know, it's one of those times. Yeah, summer's done. That was just it. We just had our summer. It's gone now. Thank you for being here, and come back later, probably in a few months. And, so I apologize to those that were looking forward to taking part and listening to the program last night. My health went sideways, and, it was not fun. But I'm better now. Well, health-wise, I'm better now. I'm still as dumb as I've ever been, dumb as a stump.
And so I'm going to need a little help. You know, I've been out of the loop for, 48 hours, almost 48 hours. And so, you know, if there's stuff that you need me to know, give us a call at 714-242-5250. If by chance you know anybody that's in the group, you can message them, and especially Christopher, he'll tell me you want me to call you. It's an American number. Hopefully you have a long-distance plan. If you don't, it can be expensive, and we don't want you to spend a cent to be on this show because it ain't worth it. Well, I mean, you know, a cent, the show itself. You shouldn't spend any money on the show. Allow me to do that. All right, so that's basically what's been going on in my life. And on the football front, the Red Blacks are looking to make a playoff push. This from a team that's only won one game. Well, wait, what am I saying? My team's only won three. Landry says that the Argos are looking to create separation. With what? What are they going to separate? How do you win three games and then talk about separating yourself? You know, you've obviously divided yourself too much already. And I'm reading CFL.ca if you want to know about football. And Caleros, he's chomping at the bit, it says here. He's chomping at the bit. And his return is pending. And surprise, 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 Eastern Dressler signed with the Ryderville team known as the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Oh, sorry, not Eastern Dressler, Weston Dressler. Moffitt says Crompton's thrown a challenge. Yeah, he sure has. He in Montreal, he looked good. I really liked the way he played, and I think it'll be handy to have him around a little bit longer. And because in Montreal lately, at least in the last couple of years, every quarterback's good for at least five games. After that, not so much. Okay. Well, I think that's enough from me. Let's talk to the experts. And if you want to be one of the experts again, give us a call at 714-242-5250. And if you want to make a comment, and you can email me at candidfranklive. That's one word, candidfranklive@gmail.com. Yeah, the last time I did that, I had to close my email account. Oh, no, not because I got a lot of emails, just I got tired of waiting for somebody to email me. So basically, it's football time, guys. It's week number 10. The second, we're around the halfway pole. And right now, there's a couple of nags, and they're all in the east. All right, let's move on with the show. Let's do that. I turned on all the mics, and we'll start with Christopher calling from the 604 area code. How's it going, Christopher? All right, we'll go over now to Christopher's probably barbecuing, or he's got his apron stuck on the mute button. We also have Mr. Predict Everything. Oh, no, Mr. Know-It-All and Predict Everything. He predicted that Eastern Dressler would be signing again with Ryderville Nation. And you were right. He did sign again with Ryderville Nation.
Yeah, I knew it all along because I had suspected heavily. And
lucky guess.
Informed.
Lucky well, guess. You threw listen, a dart against the dartboard.
He wore 13 in Kansas City, and that was a sign to me that Hobson and Tamman had already spoken to him before he left as to whether or not he would come back, and they struck a deal then. I think this was all just a media circus.
So how much over the cap are they now? $1.2 million? $1.6 million?
Oh, I wouldn't think any more than any other team at this point.
Christopher doesn't bother answering the phone. I'll talk for him. Also with us tonight is Bruce John Inch, the 13th man. And he's got his fingers crossed, hoping he don't have to go far to watch a football game on Labor Day.
No, I think I'll just go down the hill and watch it.
There you go.
Gotta.
You have 10 seconds to complete your recording.
Well, I haven't even said anything yet.
Oh, really? Maybe that's Christopher's number.
Maybe.
Well, it's going to hang up on me.
Message recorded. To send your message, press pound. To continue recording, press 2. To listen to your message, press 4. For delivery options, press 5. To delete this message, press 7.
I think...
Are you still there? Message recorded. To send your message, press pound. To continue recording, press...
There you go. That's Christopher. Okay. Got to give him another call. I keep getting his answering machine.
There you go.
Well, I'll wait to hear from him that he wants to be on the program. The heck with that. All right. So basically,
right.
The stadium is – I read something today. Well, did I read something today? So they're looking for what's called partial occupancy.
Right.
That's not full occupancy.
No.
But they do have to have substantial completion, which is a formula that I won't even bother trying to explain it to you because someone would have to explain it to me first. Essentially, it's like 98 point something percent of the work done and 90 whatever. So the key thing is they were testing all the alarms, you said. So they're at that point where you know,
that
the engineer of safety, the safety consultant, he's thinking about, you know, basically – approving and that stuff's complete. And it's all a bunch of paperwork that has to happen. And boys and girls, it could get hung up on the tiniest detail. And it's serious business. There's going to be, I guess you're saying about 18,000 they're going to let in?
18,000 is what they're calling for, yeah.
Right. And those are 18,000 lives that the city of Hamilton takes seriously. Because
it could
be expensive. Exactly. It could be expensive if something bad happens. And I hate to be crude about it, but, you know, money does scare people. And the thought of losing it does scare people. So good for that because people's lives, there has to be some value attached to people. And might as well, that's as good a reason as any to protect people. So considering I'll be one of the peeps, I want all the protection I can get. I might have to show up with my hard hat and my safety vest. Hey, maybe that's what I'll do for that game.
What's that?
I think that's what I'll do. I'll wear a hard hat, safety vest.
Oh, hey, man, we're known for hard hats and construction boots.
You know, I tossed out. I don't know if I have a blue one still. I don't know if I have a blue one still. Shoot. I think because I'm a white hat.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get you host to Mark's Work Warehouse and get yourself a blue one.
Yeah, and then I got to put an attachment on it for the camera. It'll just be more work. I'm in the more fun mode, less work mode right now, at this moment.
Yeah.
At this moment.
Yeah, I hear you.
Too much work at home, as my wife says. Also with us tonight, the one, the only, Mike Townsend. Mike, are you there?
Hey, Phyllis. How y'all doing?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? I'm good.
That's good. What's up, Frank? What's up, Telly?
Not a whole lot, Mike. Just digging into some meal and enjoying the CFL talk.
Yeah, man, I feel you. I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing, man. Enjoying the CFL talk, enjoying my little two-week vacation before I start my little job, around the baby all day, every day, enjoying her and, you know, watching a lot of football.
That's awesome. There's some college on tonight. Old Miss versus Boise.
Oh, you know what? I was about to watch that, man, but I've been watching the Lions beat up the Toronto Bills. And
the Buffalo
now I'm
Bills.
Chicago versus
the
I was
Buffalo
wondering if
he was going to
catch that, Frank.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to catch that.
Hey, Frank. Christopher just sent a message.
What?
Then you give him a call. Christopher.
Oh, okay, I have my CFL thing. Yeah, I see. No,
on the one that you started this afternoon about having a show tonight.
Okay.
Eight of us. Can someone tell Frank is he phoning? And I went, yes, he was. So I'm assuming.
And who wants me to call them?
Christopher Jones. I'm assuming.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I did. I called him. Yeah, I'll do it again. I don't have a problem with that. There we go. I got his answering machine last time. And also Stormy finally, I don't know, maybe. Hey, you know, you didn't mention, Kelly, that it seems to me that Don used to be a cheerleader, and it looked to me like she was wearing green, so that might be a cheerleader for Saskatchewan?
That's right. She was a 980 CRM Dream Team girl.
6-0-4-3-0-9-1-8-2-1 is not available.
He said to call him.
Wow. Maybe he's calling you at the same time.
No, I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, well, continue
so
on
was,
with your cheerleader story, please.
So she was a cheerleader for Saskatchewan.
That's
cool.
Right. Yeah, in the 91 season, she made the dance team and basically didn't get to leave Regina because in those days club didn't have a lot of money. Girls would just dance at home, and that's kind of the era where it went from rah-rah sisumba to dance teams, and that started coming more into effect, and yeah, she performed with them for that season and that season alone, and yes, fun fact about my girlfriend.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
And the
awesome.
Words you're looking for is cheer team. They call themselves cheer teams now.
Yeah, it was the 980 CKRM Dream Team, but now 980 is now occupied by a different station. But at the time, like I say,
and here they used to be called the Sunshine Girls. That's because the Toronto Sun sponsored them and initiated actually that whole thing, all because of my favorite team in the NFL back in the day. And the only reason they were my favorite team, I'll leave you to figure out why and who.
Exactly.
The Cowboys.
Yeah. The cheerleader.
I never met a tassel I didn't like.
Christopher just sent another message stating he has a house full. He won't be able to be on the show.
I just phoned
him. Too bad.
Chris, is that you or your answering machine?
No, that's his answering machine. He just sent me a message stating that he has a house full and he won't be able to be on the show.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Where are the ladies at tonight, man? We don't got the ladies on the show.
No, man. What happened, Frank?
I guess all this talk about cheerleaders has turned some of the women off.
We don't have Kim on the show no more. Kim, Tammy, Debbie.
I think Tammy said she's willing to be on.
Yeah, Tammy will call. She can message me and I'll call her, but she doesn't want me to have her number. Don't tell her that I have identical here. Don't tell her that. Right?
Hey,
so I already have.
Hey
her
guys,
number.
I want to ask y'all a question. If y'all heard the news about Josh Gordon wanting to come to the CFL.
Yeah.
The NFL had made the new rule up. If anybody's suspended, they can't sign with any other team or any other league while under suspension, a la the OG Williams rule, as they call it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I agree with that.
I think it's very...
Yeah, it only makes sense.
But I
yeah,
think
it,
the hookup,
it makes sense to a certain degree.
It appears they finally did get Schmidt. Stormy.
Yes.
You got Storm?
Yeah, Stormy, how's it going, buddy? I heard your voice in the background there.
I thought I heard some thunder in the background.
There you go.
That's my place. I live about 15 feet from the train track.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can't keep a cup of coffee on your counter, I bet.
You know it. Yeah, I used to live in an area called Harbor Landing, and that was right in a major airway path where the jets are getting low to land, and now
it's
right by a train track.
Planes,
you
trains,
like
and automobiles.
I think, you know what? No, I'm going to say something. I got to change the setting on the show, make it adult if I'm going to say that. Forget it.
What, you like riding the rails? I'll say it for you.
No, that's
like
not
your mayor, like the mayor of Toronto. That's why he's so gun ho on these subways because he likes to ride the rail.
There you go. sick. That's because he snorts a rail or two. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Okay, let's get to football. So this Gordon issue, you know, the NFL, earlier this week, I saw a posting, I think I saw it, or maybe it was just me and I was in bed and I was dreaming, something about the head offices of the NFL moving to Toronto.
Wow.
I've seen that too.
You saw it too, Mike?
Yeah, I've seen it too.
Got to be a cock and bull story, no?
Maybe for financial reasons?
That's what it said. It said for tax reasons they're going to move to Toronto.
Why they're saying Burger King and Tim Hortons teamed up because of a new tax, whatever. So you never know.
See, my thing is this: if they're planning on moving a head office to Toronto, it's because something is planning to put a team somewhere in Canada. I'm not gonna even say Toronto, which everybody say that's the number one place. But I mean, if it's not broke, don't try to fix it, man. Leave it the way it is.
I personally don't really care if an NFL team comes here or not. And I don't think
it's not going to do nothing to the Argos. It's not going to hurt the Argos.
I don't think so either, Mike. You know what? I don't think so either, and a lot of people complain about that, and I'll tell you why. It's still going to cost you double the price to go to an NFL game than it is a CFL game. And there's a lot more people that can afford a CFL game than an NFL game.
Thank you.
And
double,
you know what?
More like triple or quadruple.
Yeah. I wanted to go to a Bills game, but there was no way I could buy a ticket. You know,
isn't the NFL to those of us in Canada, hasn't it become a TV sport? You know, a sport we watch on TV, a sport we gamble on, you know.
Well, that too, but that's just because we're not close enough. You know, I think maybe if we lived in Chatham, we might go to a couple of Detroit games or, you know, if we lived closer. You know, if I lived like in St. Kitts, I might go to a couple more Bills games in Buffalo, right? But as far as them coming into Canada, I still, you know, I don't care either way. I don't think it'll hurt your Argonauts like everybody's saying. I don't think it'll hurt the animal.
It wouldn't.
You know?
Because I'm gonna tell you guys something, man. I live right here in the city of Detroit, and I can tell you how many NFL games I've been to in my lifetime, and it's zero. I'd rather watch them on TV. I'm not going down there in that crowd paying all that money to sit in the nosebleeds. Man, please. I'd rather watch it on TV where I can see the cameras going in and out.
See, that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm talking about the real football fan. When it comes to here in Toronto, a good example to help people understand what I'm trying to say. In Toronto, hockey fans don't go watch the Leafs play. They're just companies that have tickets, and then they give them away. And they're free, you know. And when you say you can have something for free, people always say yes. But, you know, the ones who really want to go to a hockey game don't get to go. And the same thing's going
to
happen.
Or we pay $110 to get a nosebleed.
Yeah, but that's my point. You know, the real football fan isn't going to go to the NFL game. That's what I mean. I don't mean it ain't going to be full. I don't mean it ain't going to have people wanting to go. But I happen to think that most of the people that will be going are people who can afford it, which means somebody else is paying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Right.
A lot of those guys in suits and ties at the Leafs games down there in the lower bowl, they're getting those tickets for free. They're not paying a red cent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they're there to be seen. That's what I always consider, a Hockey Night in Canada. They're there to be seen. They don't give a rat's ass about the game.
They don't.
Otherwise, they'd come in when the second period starts, not halfway through it.
Exactly. And I'll give you a case in point. I took my nephew to a first Toronto Maple Leafs game at the new one, whatever it's called. Where do they play? Help me out.
Air Canada Center.
Thank you. Right? And we paid $110 a seat. And when we got there, we noticed that our tickets, they were stamped S-O-O. And we never knew what that stood for, man. Standing room only.
Oh, standing room only.
We were up, man, on a flipping roof. We're standing against the wall looking down. You know, pathetic. And, you see all these gold seats that are empty. you know, and then they finally start, you know, filling up halfway through the second into the third period. So,
same thing. Second,
exactly.
So, well, that's because there's free food.
That's like, I don't know, somebody was criticizing Regina Pats today, and I just had to laugh because it was a Winnipegger in the Bomber-Rider heated battle, and I was just saying, you know, Regina's the oldest, most storied, and by the way, the most NHLers drafted out of any junior program in the world, history-wise, is the Regina Pats organization. So we get to see it for, you know, $7-$8. We get to see all the stars blossom here. You know, what's better than that?
Yeah.
Well,
and you know
and
what,
you
Julie? That, I agree with you on that, because that's like me when I go to my indoor games, man. $40.
Sure.
I'm sitting right by the field, and sometimes it depends on what league I go to. $20 get me front row. You know what I'm saying?
Might
I see all the future CFL
thing.
Stars.
Yeah,
there
for
you
sure.
go. Yep.
Yep.
You know, NFL games to me, man, they overrated as far as going. I rather sit back here and watch them on my big screen and flip through the channels and watch every game on TV. I'm not going down there. Too much money.
And not standing in line to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's just too much money. So, you know, if NFL did come to Toronto, it wouldn't hurt the CFL not one bit. If anything, they'd be doing some promoting where they'd be playing preseason games, maybe a little soft tackle or something like that, you know, just to bring in the money for both teams. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, hey, it'd be a win-win for both.
I just don't fear the NFL coming here.
I don't feel
them
either.
Two reasons. I don't think they'll come here. A, and if they do, it won't matter. I don't think it'll matter.
It's two different markets.
Especially the Bills.
I think you're right. And you know what else? I think it goes the same way. The CFL goes to the States. I think we gotta stop being scared of that and stop being, you know, just automatically negative toward it. I'd like to keep an open mind about that.
Look at what happens when the CFL puts a game on Sunday in NFL season.
Yeah,
They get great numbers. TSN's very happy with the numbers.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and then the numbers from the States is real good too.
And don't think that they don't look at it the same way we do. They go, how much are we paying for this? And how much are we getting
that's
back?
That's why they signed that big contract.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're penny wise.
They have 5 TSN channels. You know,
they'll be able to show all the games at once. No, there's something I really enjoy. Oh, please. 2 stations, 11 channels. Give me a break.
You need one of those
please.
TVs that slid in the floor, though, man.
Oh my goodness.
That's why I say, man, with the new commissioner that's going to come in, don't be surprised if he pulls the trigger. And might want to start expanding back over here. Maybe 1 or 2 teams. You don't need to put 3 or 4 teams over here. 1 or 2, even the league out. Man,
yep.
Shoot. You get a 10-team or a 12-team league in CFL, man, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it
great.
Is. It's just great for credibility worldwide. It's great
yes,
to
sir.
Have two more logos to put out there, 2 more jobs at the top job and the GM job and, you know, it'll deepen our pool of talent, I think, as opposed to thin it out, really, because it'll create that demand, and pretty soon Americans will be thinking, geez, you know, this is a great option, you know, like, and that's really who we have to encourage is, as far as management and coaching is that's where most of our coaches are from, is these guys are Americans who have played in the league or have coached in the college or professional ranks down south.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to happen, though. It's not going to happen down in the States again.
It's not going to happen at least for, I'll say this, they won't be thinking about it until Quebec City or the eastern coast of Canada isn't represented. Until then. If they feel that it ain't going to happen in Quebec, it ain't going to happen in on the East Coast, they might think about moving to Detroit and put them in the East.
And but you know what, Frank? And also, too, if If they was thinking about Quebec City in the eastern part of Canada, it would have been some talks about going on doing it. Not they. I don't think the CFL is taking them cities, the Maritimes and Quebec City, seriously, as far as putting teams there. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
if they feel that it's not going to be a good spot, then shoot, just start seeing.
They got to bring another team. They've got to bring another team in the East. The process takes 3 to 4 years. So if they can see the writing on the wall now, they're going to have to work towards either bringing in. Well, either way, in 3 to 4 years, there's going to be another team in the East, because I don't think the league themselves, the people involved in the league, are going to want to have a 9-team league any longer than that.
Right.
That's all. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just simple logic, right? I mean, you know what I mean, Kelly? I mean, you don't want to have a 9-team league forever. It's just stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I say I don't have a spot picked out down south, but, you know, I just think right now there are, you know, certain options in Canada that we have to explore first, but I'd like to remain optimistic and open-minded about getting back to the U.S. someday. I mean, the CFL market is about 250 to a million people. That's kind of what suits the CFL market, and there's a lot of cities that size just south of the border.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Detroit's a good bet because the Canadian American relationship is the strongest. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're right.
Detroit-Windsor. Detroit-Windsor. You know, with the Detroit Red Wings, Windsor fans are Detroit fans. You know what I mean? The Lions, you know, there's a river between them. That's it. You know, it's not like you have to drive a half hour to get there. You could walk there from Windsor.
Sure, you can go down to Windsor and catch the Windsor-Detroit bus that crosses the bridge and go through the tunnel.
You know, if they wanted a team in the West, Mike, you know, there's a couple of cities north of Seattle that would jump at the chance.
Oh yeah, even
well,
I've heard
Portland.
Yep.
Tacoma, I was about to say that Portland and Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that fits into Kelly's definition of what kind of town you're looking for.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, any more than a million you see some marketplaces in the CFL that are more than a million, and there's really no advantage to having more than a million people, like the way Saskatchewan draws from the whole province, but the province is only a million people. Well, so we're significantly smaller than a million people market, like I'd say closer to the 500,000. And Winnipeg is in that same wheelhouse. And it seems like these types of marketplaces are the ones that really suit the CFL. Just medium-sized cities.
Well, yep. Ones that know they'll never get an NFL team.
Sure, if you want to call them that.
For openers.
Yeah.
Not just for openers. That's not the only reason. But that's sort of like the intro card, right? Where, you know, they can get...
Mm-hmm.
That's why Baltimore fell in love with the, you know, with the CFL.
Yep. Yes.
You know?
Until this day, they still love the CFL.
What about Hartford? They've been calling for an NFL team for years in Hartford, or somewhere in Connecticut anyway. New Haven has a stadium for Princeton, for Yale. And
but that's your argument. That's your argument that you're fighting yourself right now. You know,
right.
these places that actually want an NFL team will not be interested in a CFL team at all. You know, the only
but
reason
you know what that situation with that though, they tried the professional team in Connecticut, man. The Hartford Colonials, which was a part of the UFL,
there were
New York something. They moved to Connecticut, and Connecticut is not really a football city, a football state, really. So that right there, that experiment made it bomb completely. You know, the only place that actually supported their UFL team was the team in Omaha, Omaha Nighthawks. They sold out every home game, and that would be
Omaha,
a place to put a CFL team.
Omaha has a lot of similarity to Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they sure do.
The people are a lot alike too. I'm not
just
saying that.
It's a different crop.
Oh, really?
It's corn down there, and it's Durham wheat up here. I think you're right, Frank.
You know, and they love their
Frank.
Football.
Getting back to it, though, Frank, is how many times you have to give a team a chance, though, right? And I've said this
exactly.
before.
Exactly,
like,
exactly. And
look at trying something that failed. I'm just going on hockey here for just a heartbeat here. But look at the Calgary Flames. They came from Atlanta in 1981. They become the Calgary Flames. Okay, I started cheering for them. Still do. Then Atlanta got another franchise. And then what happened? There you go. Like, how many times do you have to give a team a chance? Like, really?
Well, you know, like, it's the only way teams are going to come to Canada. They got to go to Atlanta.
And you know what? And you know what? And see, with the expansion of the Red Blacks, this right here is going to tell the tale on when the temp team is going to come, or if it's going to be a city that's wanting a CFL team up in Canada. Ottawa is going to set the tone for a temp team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They will.
Ottawa's setting the tone. Yep. Yep.
And to bring this full circle back to Josh Gordon, I just was suggesting earlier on Facebook there that, you know, the league might want to consider an exemption for Josh Gordon because it would be such a boon for Ottawa, and they've shown that they'll bend over forwards, backwards, and sideways for Ottawa so far. So I don't think there's any reason to think that they couldn't make one more, you know, exemption for them.
He's been suspended, I was reading a little bit about that, and Christopher said he was following Twitter and not getting anything, but Christopher on Facebook seemed to imply that the problem was steroids, or, you know, not marijuana. He had very little THC in his system.
It was marijuana. What Christopher was saying, if it was steroids or somebody, you know, abuse, then he can see them not letting them play. But a little THC in the system, then, you know, let them play. Now, I was just reading, and we were talking at the bottom of the screen because I'm watching the NFL Network, and they were saying if the Browns gave permission to sign him to the CFL, then he could probably play. But the Browns are not going to get permission for Josh Gordon to go play in the CFL.
Why do you say that? Why do you think they wouldn't do it?
I'm explaining something to you about the NFL, and this is what I don't like, and it's the reason why I only watch my team. And just to let everybody know, the comments I say is not what I agree with. Now, the NFL, well, I do agree with some of this. The NFL, when it comes to their drug policies, they have two different classes. They are more harder on black players than they are the white players. They suspend the black players for a year and ban them, but the white guys that get out here on drugs, they get maybe like a 2-3-4-game suspension, and they're back on the field. I mean, with numerous drug suspensions. There was a guy that played for Jacksonville Jaguars. I think his name was Matt Moore. He was a receiver or tight end. Multiple drug suspensions. I think he had 3. Only thing, he was getting 6-game suspensions every year. That was it. They're more harder on the African-American players than they are the other players. And that's the reason why I don't like the rules of the NFL. That's the reason why I don't watch them. Now, CFL, they don't care what color you are. You do something wrong, you're gone.
Yeah, and it's not, Mike, it's not your opinion either, bud. It's just a visible fact that can be backed up by precedent after precedent that's been set in the NFL over 20 years. So you're absolutely right, bud.
Mm-hmm.
You want to continue on that? Stephon Jones?
No, Pac-Man Jones, Adam Jones.
Pac-Man.
He got suspended from the NFL for a bar fight that he got into when somebody put their hands on him. and he wanted to play in the CFL with Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The NFL said if the Winnipeg Blue Bombers sign Pac-Man Jones, they're going to sue him. Bottom line, no ifs, ands, buts about it. If you sign Adam Jones, then we're going to sue you.
So the league can suspend somebody and then say they can't make a living anywhere else.
Basically, they want them to be broke the whole year. They want them to make no type of money for that whole particular year, which I think is bogus.
And doesn't the CFL have to an agreement with them, or is that something that would have to be something that the Players Association and the NFL would have to agree to? No.
I would think at some point it would, but my thing is being the CFL, different league, hold together a different country. What does it matter?
If they don't break any laws that require them to maintain to get into the country, you know, if they're breaking laws that we don't approve of here in Canada, like murder and such. Ricky Williams had drug issues, and he came to Canada, and he played for the Argos.
Yep.
You know, so I guess he could, but, you know, and then again, you know, the CFL, you know, politically anyway, just like the NFL, they always talk like they get along, right? Like they're not partners, but you know what I mean? They're buddies, right? So if the NFL says, look, keep your hands off this guy, you know, the CFL is going to consider keeping their hands off that guy, right? They're going to consider it anyway.
Yep.
And that's what upsets you, is that if I'm getting it right, is that they're basically ensuring that this guy doesn't get to earn any money because he's suspended, so, you know, you don't get to make any money playing football anywhere.
Yep. Exactly.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah, real harsh.
If it's just marijuana, because nowadays, guys, it's 2014, soon to be 2015.
That's right.
There are states in the United States that, you know, have made it legal.
Yeah.
You know, and, well.
My house is legal.
You know, okay.
Yep.
Your glaucoma.
My thing is, you should let it play. Let him play. That's what I say. Let him play. He's suspended from the NFL for a year. Let him play in the CFL.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that I'm a Josh Gordon fan and a Cleveland Browns fan, and I believe that he is a great human being. I believe that he's being given a raw deal on this one-year suspension, and that I also believe he should be allowed to play. I think
Is this the first time he's been hit?
No, actually, he was selected, I believe, in the supplemental draft entering the NFL because of an incident before the draft. So he was delayed, and then Cleveland selected him in the supplemental draft, and he was granted his full rights to play in the NFL just last season, I believe. But he had an all-pro year, went to the Pro Bowl, led his team and led his conference in receiving, and that's often a tough conference to do that in with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Baltimore, too. I mean, Baltimore is not your offensive juggernaut, but still, you're right. And, you know, I just think that, you know, there is something up with this, and he is getting a raw deal. He's extremely young. He's, 24 years old still at this point. So he's just a kid. And
23.
I believe 23.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, somewhere up in there.
Just a kid.
And he's a beast, man.
He's a man child.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, if you think signing Chad Johnson in Montreal was a big deal for Montreal, just imagine having Josh Gordon playing on any CFL team.
Oh, my God.
You're talking about an upgrade at receiver? Oh, man, come on. That guy's going to come to work and put in big work.
Yeah, you need a quarterback that could throw 50 yards every time because that's all you'd do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, That's my take on it, and that's the reason why, Frank, I don't like the NFL. That's why I'm a CFL fan. They don't care what race, what color, nationality you do wrong, they're gonna boot you out. Bottom line, they don't care about all that. NFL, it's a totally different kind of game over here. You know.
But when was the last time you heard of a guy that got booted out of the CFL for smoking a joint?
Hey, there you go.
You know, I haven't heard of it. The last guy I can remember that got suspended or anything to do with any type of illegal drugs was Jordan Matichuk when he played for us, when he tried to bring back those roids across the border. And that's the only time I can recall a player getting suspended for any type of drugs, whether it was steroids or...
Let me give you a couple examples, Bruce. There was Reggie Slack in Regina who basically made a public statement that he had an addictions problem, and the Riders stood behind him, but they benched him for a little while he got it under control.
Okay.
Anyway, and there was...
But he actually wasn't caught, was he? Didn't he come forward before he was going to be caught?
And then there was Terrell Ulmer, a cornerback on the Riders in the, mid-1990s. He was an all-star corner, basically coming back for kind of his biggest season ever. And about 3 weeks before camp started, he got pinched in California selling cocaine. And, he was given the boot immediately, released from the club and disassociated at that time or whatever. But like I said, that was in between the season, and the Riders just did it on their own, and I can't remember what CFL's policy was on that because nobody picked him up or anything, and I believe he's probably still in jail to this day.
Right, yeah. Not doing stuff like that, selling drugs and getting caught like that. You know, I can see the CFL like, heck, you know, we're not bringing you here, you know, something like that. But, you know, a joint, man, come on, man.
I know.
Really, I know.
You know, it seems to me the reason why they won't let him play in Canada is because he's too good a player.
Yep.
It's just that
simple. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
It's just that simple. He's suspended. If he wasn't that good a player, they wouldn't have suspended him. They would have released him.
But do you think
like
he
Brazil.
Would go, like, realistically speaking, too, I'm just kind of thinking about this. He's suspended for how long?
A year.
One year.
Okay, 1 year. So if he were, you can come play for the Hamilton Ticats. Ticats want to sign you for 2 years.
Well, actually, they can't, and the neck rights
are held by
Calgary, by Storm's
Whoever's team he wants to go to. Yeah, you can go wherever you want. Wherever that team is, say, whoever it is, they just want to sign him for a two-year contract. He signs a contract. Now, he's going to be brought back next year into the NFL onto the team that he's already on, isn't he? More than likely?
Yep.
So why would he even bother? Just take the year off because you're going to make that money back that you made in the CFL. Anyway, CFL isn't going to pay anywhere towards what he's making now.
Just to clarify, this is him asking the Browns if he can be released to play in the CFL. So he has a desire, and that's enough for me. If the guy's got a desire to play, then I think he should be allowed to play. I mean, like everybody's saying, it's just a joint. Like, come on.
No, I know but
well, unfortunately,
at it,
I have
NFL
to agree with the ruling.
Getting a debt because
I have to agree with the ruling. I think he should stay suspended until the Argos get his negotiation rights. Calgary has them, so I don't think he should be allowed in the CFL.
I still don't know why he would want to go. Why wouldn't he got
clearly
injured?
For unbiased reasons on my part.
But you know what, Bruce? I think what it is, he wants to play because, you know, a lot of these guys, man, a lot of these guys are still under their rookie contracts, you know, like Josh Gordon, man. I'm pretty sure his annual salary for this year was probably maybe $400,000. You see what I'm saying?
A lot of these guys
get their big money at the tail end of their contracts, which a lot of them really don't really see. Now, you know, granted, he came to the CFL and won a team, giving him what, $200,000 to play. I mean, at least he made half the money that he lost. You see what I'm saying? These guys live big, man. You know, $1 million homes, all these cars they got to pay for. So They're like, hey, if I go over here and make $150,000, $200K real quick to pay these bills, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But see, like Frank said, by him being a good player, a beast in the NFL, they're not going to allow him to go over to the CFL and make a big name for himself. Because Josh Gordon comes to the CFL, that's putting the CFL on the map.
Like, really.
And it's making NFL fans ask questions, like, why is this guy not playing in the NFL?
Yes,
and
sir.
Cleveland fans.
So,
you know, like,
did he not appeal that decision?
Yeah, he did. It didn't
work
for him.
Yep.
No, I mean, even towards the suspension length.
No, that's what they did. Yeah, well, that's what he's got a chance to be back in preseason next year if he's a good boy.
Okay.
If he's a good boy.
Right.
And by good boy, I mean nothing racist. He has to be a good boy.
Good
He cannot do anything bad. He has to be.
Gotta follow the law.
He's got, you know.
Each and every one of us.
Well, you know, he's got to come clean. He's got to be
good
clean.
Good news, guys, because, you know, Josh Gordon can and will do this for himself, and I don't doubt him one second.
Maybe
yeah,
he's got a brain. You think he would do it before, though? You said he got caught once before, right?
Yeah, but
and then he does it again. Like, come on, man, he's a pineapple.
Come on, how mature were you at 23, though, Bruce? Come on.
If I got caught once, and I was allowed a second chance, making $400,000, yeah, I'd smoke my ass up real quick. So
but that's not you know, Bruce. That's not the point, right? The point isn't
that is the point.
Whether no. What I'm trying to say is this: is that the point isn't his character. The point is the punishment. Does the punishment fit the crime?
For a second offense, yeah, it is. Does. If it was the first offense, I say no, but it's the second offense. Next time you're up for good, bud. See you later.
Well,
simple.
And you know
Jacoby,
where Bruce
is. No, first offense. Look what Calgary did to dude there. You know, and he came back there. I forget his name, but, they just sent him right off the bat. And you know what? That's the way it should be. There's no first chances, but they gave him a chance after he was suspended or whatever the hell he was, sort of thing,
right?
You know, it's a fine line. Like, if you get a DUI, should you be suspended by the NFL or CFL? If you beat your wife, yes. I mean, the list goes on, right? I mean, it just goes on.
But don't you think, Storm, that sometimes by the way they mete out punishment, it almost seems like it's very inconsistent? Mike put a face on it, and I don't know whether that's 100% true or not. But
I believe that also. It is
tough.
Inconsistent.
It's tough to this guy smoked a joint, if that's what it was, and then that's what put him over the top. I mean, really, it's 2015, man.
Yeah, but if you knew he wasn't allowed to do it, what's the difference between doing that and crack? They're both against the law.
Bruce, there's a difference.
There is no difference. A law is a law. It doesn't matter if it's crack, crack, or a joint.
But that's the point. No, but Bruce, that's the point I'm trying to make. There isn't a single state in the United States that allows crack to be smoked. Or
but his
whatever.
State doesn't allow marijuana, does it?
That's my point. That's my point. There are states that do. There's something like six now.
Yeah, okay.
And they have NFL teams.
I'm sure there's different states that allow you to beat your wife or whatever, too.
You're not making a fair argument. That's not a fair argument.
Okay, well, that's not a fair, but different states have different rules, no matter what. So if he wanted to smoke a joint, maybe he should have went to play for California or something.
I understand that. But, you know,
but
I guess.
An NFL rule or a state or a law?
I don't even think it's an NFL rule per se. You know, I think, this is what the problem is with the NFL. And you guys might be bigger NFL, the big boss at the NFL basically makes decisions that he wants to make. And then he makes a decision, and sometimes he sticks to the decision. The decision hangs there. But there have been times when he has been talked out of doing stuff or continuing a punishment. You know, he's lost a couple of battles,
right?
Politically, because sometimes he comes down a little hard, And to me, and this is the point I'm trying to make, is it almost looks like they try to make draconian rules, and then the ones that get away with it, oh, well, at least we got somebody. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, if the state that a player lives in allows pot smoking, they can't suspend them for smoking pot because that's his right. If it's legal, it's his right.
Yeah, but okay.
I agree with
Mike,
that.
You're a truck driver.
So then what do you do? So then what do you do?
Mike's a truck driver. He drives in the state of New York, right? State of New York does not condone pot smoking. He goes to California on the trip. He has a couple joints down in California. He comes back to New York, does a drug test, fails it, gets fired from his job. Meanwhile, he didn't smoke nothing in the state of New York.
But
yeah,
you're making my point. The thing with truck drivers, which I had already asked this question, about us being DOT regulated, the DOT has not passed the law for us to smoke weed. So if we can't do it under DOT law saying that we can't do it. So
right.
with Josh Gordon, if it's an NFL rule, then, okay, yeah, suspend him. But you suspend him from the NFL, not suspend him for not playing in the CFL. Because if he was a low draft pick that made maybe about 5 catches last year, all total, maybe about 50 yards, and got caught like that, only thing Cleveland would have done was release him, and he'd be playing the CFL next following week. But he's a high-caliber player, and that's the reason why they don't want him to go play, because they might not get him back.
And, Mike, the whole thing is that he is a suspended player. He's under contract. And the CFL does not bring players in who are under contract. So the way around it for the NFL is they've taken a decision which has nothing to do with, I don't even know how to explain it, but with nothing to do with one thing, which is, breaking the law, right? And then turn it into a suspension. And then because it's a suspension, it doesn't matter if the reason for the suspension is something that the CFL doesn't care about or doesn't deal with, right? That puts the CFL off the hook of making enemies with the NFL.
That's it. And see,
it's a bait and switch.
The only option, bait and switch, and see what they might end up doing next year like they did Charles Rogers. I think everybody knows who Charles Rogers is that plays for Detroit Lions. He was suspended from the NFL for smoking weed, and he came back the next year, came to training camp, and he did good in training camp, but the Lions still released him. That's the only thing that might happen to Josh Gordon next year. If he come back in, have maybe one bad preseason game, he's going to be released, and then that way the NFL don't have to deal with him. Because he already planted
be
a bad seed. Yep, he'll be free to go. They just don't want him to make no money.
Well, he's an example. They're making an example of him. It's too bad. There's some stuff that's going on, that players do, and I don't want to get into the laundry list of laws that have been broken by NFL players. A year suspension for this. They just suspended a guy this year for 4 games because he beat his wife.
Yeah, in an elevator, him and his fiance at the time. In the elevator at the casino, sure did.
Okay,
I wouldn't suspend him for 4 games. I would have just said, okay, goodbye.
Wasn't Gordon charged with drinking and driving? That's what I'm just reading here. The fellow sent me. He was charged for drunken driving, and his passenger was cited for marijuana.
Okay. Well, anyways, guys, we've talked long and hard about this.
Yeah, we have.
Let's talk about
the games that are coming up.
How about halftime break, Frank, and then, on to the games this week.
That sound okay with you guys?
Yeah, man.
Sound okay with me?
Hey, Frank.
Well, now, you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Going to Hamilton this week.
This cheer actually originated with the 1925 NHL hockey Hamilton Tigers.
which we're now trying to get an NHL team back, as you know. And a guy named Vince Wirtz used to jump on the ice with his big fur coat and bowler hat and do this cheer. And then it translated over to the football side because, well, there
was yeah, yeah, Oski Wee Wee. I get it. I get it. Where are we going? We're going to Hamilton.
Hi, buddy. How's it going?
What's this? A microphone coming through first?
Yeah.
So are you going to root for your team? What? Yeah.
Argos
always.
There you go. Give us your name. Give us your name.
I'm Carl.
Carl.
And Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello there.
So you can enjoy this bus trip?
Of course. We always have fun.
There you go. I'm gonna put this on the air tonight.
Argos season.
Yes, we'll be hearing that. The first game this week, to preview for this week, week 10, we have the Red Blacks in Montreal. Will an Eastern team win this game? They'll probably tie.
Don't get me on the tie thing, Frank.
Okay, dude.
Now, did
your first... Mr. Schmidt, Ottawa Red Blacks in Montreal. Which team will not lose this game?
Ottawa will not lose.
Ottawa will not lose. Okay. And why will they
and
not lose?
The score is 24-17 Ottawa.
Okay. All right, then we'll move on to Kelly. Ottawa in Montreal. Which team won't...
I've got the Alouettes this week, guys, by 10 points. Reason is just basically on the strength of the defense for Montreal. I think that combined with the leg of Sean White is enough to get them over the hill against the Red Blacks.
At home.
At home, yep. It's a big game, too. I mean, like... fans look forward to the Labor Day there as much as we do in Alberta, Saskatchewan. I mean, it's a fan day, and it's going to be a lot. I mean, I think Serge was saying 18,000 expected, so not a
yep.
huge crowd, but could be a big walk-up if it's a nice day.
It'll be fun. It'll be a fun game. How about you there, Bruce John Inch?
I'm going with Ottawa by 7.
That's 2 for Ottawa.
That's 2 for Ottawa. Yes, it is. Yep.
Well, Mike, it's 2-1 Ottawa. You're going to make some distance?
Oh, you know I'm about to make some distance. Man, I'm sticking with Old Faithful. I'm going with Montreal by 10.
Go with
and
your boy Chad Johnson.
If I'm not mistaken. Yep, Chad Johnson will be playing this week. So I think with Crompton playing quarterback, we might see Ocho Cinco dance in the end zone this week. Or a hug to the referee.
That's right.
I'm calling it, y'all. Y'all hear it first.
I'm not sure there's going to be any more hugs.
I think maybe he'll get a touchdown and go hug Henry Bush.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be fun.
But and the reason I say this,
why
guys,
would,
because
why
I'm going to make it real quick. Because Montreal offense is improving week by week. They just need to learn how to finish the games.
Well, their defense has given them a chance all the time. And if Burris is going to get hugged, that does mean that Ocho Cinco is going to have to find him on the sideline.
Yes.
You're right.
You will.
Mm-hmm. Right down. Say that every week, but it doesn't happen.
Nope.
I wonder if there's a setback for Montreal because their defense is off the field so much. Like, I mean, they must have the most three and outs this year. If not Saskatchewan or Calgary, I'm thinking. And that I wonder if that plays as much a factor that way as it does for the defense when they've been overworked. Is the Montreal offense overworked, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I think that the Montreal offense, I'm going to answer that question by simply saying this. Winning or playing well goes right to your legs and your arms.
That's
nothing
true.
Holds you back. You find that when things are going right, your body loves you. When things are going bad, your head starts to drop, your shoulders drop, your knees start to bend, and you don't look
absolutely
happy.
Absolutely.
And that energy is just drained out of you.
Yep. Winning is great for morale.
Yeah, or playing well, too. In the case of, you know, Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa, you know, and Hamilton, too, playing well will help you get healthier. I believe there's more injuries that happen when teams aren't playing well, just for that reason, that you're not as sharp. You know, you're not paying attention,
no,
not attention. Your head's not
that.
Up. Okay.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, you think people get injured more when they're winning?
No, because you step up to the plate, and whoever replaces you, they step up to the plate or you're gone. I've said this so many times, and look at what Calgary's done. So, plain and simple, period.
But I'm talking about individual players. I'm not talking about the backups or replacements. From the perspective of being healthy, being sharp and alert helps negate the opportunities to get injured, no?
Yes, Frank, I understand that, but we don't know how many players injured in this league that me, you, and Tom, Dick, and Harry don't know. I mean, we don't know that, right? Only them know that, and they're not going to tell anybody. Coaches aren't going to tell anybody except for Huff. He won't say nothing to anybody, really. So, you know, it's the point. I understand
your
point.
There's nothing to a positive attitude, then.
Well, of course, you have to have a positive attitude, and, you know, one game win can, you know, turn things around for a team, right?
Right. Okay.
Especially in the East, right?
All right, so Ottawa tiebreaker. I think Montreal's going to win this game, so that makes three of us for Montreal and two for Ottawa, but I think Ottawa's going to make a game of it. I just think the Alouettes' defense is continuing to be awesome, and the offense, and I agree with Mike 100%, the offense is starting to work. They're starting to develop a little bit of confidence. Those balls that were being dropped a couple of games ago aren't being dropped. The quarterback's making some plays. Crompton has made some plays that look intelligent. You know, they look like they're more in control. You know, and this isn't I don't think it's a slight of Smith. I think the team itself, the change, sometimes they say a change is as good as a rest.
Yeah, and let's remember, too, Crompton has 4 years of CFL experience. Like, he's not a spring chicken, you know.
No, and he's a guy that understands the game, knows the defenses better than the other players do. You know, 4 years of all-star teams that he's aware of. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he knows who to look out for. The other guys, for Smith, for example, has to be told who to look out for.
Sorry about that, guys. That's just the train again.
Hey, guys.
Okay.
Guys. We are very confident. Hang on. Can I play something for you? It's on TV right now.
But okay. The Davis building official says there are still some major hurdles to overcome.
Staff will be there today inspecting three things. They'll inspect the alarm system. Maybe he'll go around play all the fire alarm panels that you all have wanted to pull as a kid. And they'll be inspecting the sprinkler systems, so breaking a few heads, make sure the water flows, the alarms go off. They'll be out shutting down the power on the site and see if the generator kicks in.
The guardrails are to be delivered tomorrow and installed Saturday and Sunday.
They're important for public safety, and they'll be checking the fire separations as they're done. And last of all, waiting for all the architects and engineers' letters to confirm the project has been done to their satisfaction.
That's scheduled for Sunday afternoon, giving the city just hours to issue a one-day occupancy permit for Labor Day. But Vanderwin says the city is prepared.
We naturally have draft permits available and ready to go. If nothing else goes wrong, Sunday afternoon we're prepared to do that, but we need to see the work gets done first.
And he admits at this point it's all up to the builder. It's out of the city's control. Pamela Van Meer, CHCH News.
Okay, sorry about the update.
No. And that's those are the letters, and that's the consultants that I was referring to that won't sign until they know stuff's happening.
That's right.
And stuff's working. I'm concerned with the guardrail thing.
Yeah,
they're saying they're going to be put in Saturday and Sunday. Most of them are in. Most of them are in. I think there's just maybe another 10% of them to put in. But they come preformed and all that. So they're already probably on site. They just got to be...
What, the guardrails?
Yeah. Yeah. They probably just got to be zipped into place. You know, I'm assuming that the holes are already flipping drilled and they can just, you know, bolt them into place. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, right. All it made me think, guys, is... And I'm glad you played that, Bruce. Thanks a lot, because that guardrails was shocking to me. And all I was thinking was, if this was Regina, we'd have a group of people called All Hands on Deck, and it would be contractors volunteering their time to go out there and help with the build and get it done for Sunday. I mean, like that's the kind of spirit that Hamilton needs right now. They need this to happen.
Yeah,
Hamilton's a union town.
They really do.
Hamilton's
yeah, that's
a
the only
union
thing,
town.
You know?
Hamilton's a union town. That would never happen in Hamilton. They
right.
still make
yeah.
steel
hey, Bruce,
buildings.
how many games have y'all supposed to have in Timbit Field this year that y'all have not had? Is what,
three.
Two, three?
Three, so
three.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if we don't have Monday, it'll be four. So,
wow.
I don't know. But you know what? In all honesty, they should have... But you can't blame the Ticats. I've given you my reasons before. I don't want to go over them again. But they should have left it out of Hamilton for another year and kept it in Guelph. But it was out of their hands, you know. They were told something different.
Right.
Didn't happen. And I feel sorry for the fans, man. Like, you
How
know,
many...
I'll be there Monday regardless. But there are a lot of, I'll be honest, man. There are a lot of upset fans. And they have just cause in a way, you know. But this will all be forgotten about next year, man, so.
Yeah, I
yep.
agree with that,
yep.
Bruce. You don't open it up until it's officially totally 110% complete.
I know. Yeah. You know, but I'll still go. I'll still be
well,
there. I'm not going to stay home and take my refund just because there's 6-1 and 6-1.
I would go, too, even if they didn't have turf, I'd still go to the game.
Yeah, you know, we played in mud before.
There you go.
I don't know. It's just... One thing after another with the Ticats, that's all. We haven't had a home in 2 years.
How many organizations in the future, I wonder how many people are paying attention to this scenario, where you try to build in the same location that you have a stadium. Other teams, we've talked about this before, but I just want to visit this just for a sec. A lot of teams will not do what I think this will be one of the last times that a team does this, because it's totally embarrassing for everyone. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, they tried that in Hamilton. You know what happened? You know what I mean? Like that kind of conversation. It's too bad. It's really too bad. But let's go back to the games, and I'll be there. And I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to be comfortable if they have guardrails. I might turn around and leave the stadium.
Oh, they'll have guardrail. They have to.
I still might turn around and leave. I have my own issues, and that's one of them.
Is it for safety reasons, Frank?
I got a problem that I can't deal with.
Not heights.
It's, well, a little bit, but not that much. Heights is, I can't deal with somebody getting hurt. I just can't.
Gotcha.
I can't deal
gotcha.
With it. I can't deal with it. And I mean, I had guys
my
working
only, my
here.
Only concern
I had guys
right
working
now.
In front of my house, and they only had a hole 8-10 feet deep, and I was literally shaking in my boots watching them work. I went to see if I could handle it, and I still can't. It's just a problem I have, and you know, there's going to be people who need to understand that they're going to have to pay attention to what's going on around them. And there's going to be a lot of bullhorns. There's going to be a lot of people screaming and yelling at people and directing people. There's going to be a lot of that because this is a one-day deal.
There's going to be a lot of confusion.
Well, there's going to be a hopefully organized confusion. I pray that everybody goes to that game, goes home. Trust me when I say this, when you don't go home after going somewhere, or when somebody doesn't go home after going somewhere, it is not a good experience.
No,
it is horrible.
We do not want to be remembered for that.
No. So, you know, I hear guardrails. Guardrails mean that there's danger. Danger means that something bad could happen. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking of going to the game, I'm not saying don't go. But I am saying spread the word that you're going into a situation that isn't 100% the way it should be. And the city's nervous about it. I wasn't joking when I said, thank goodness for, you know, money, because if people's safety, because they're human, doesn't motivate you, a lighter pocketbook might. So, you know, so basically I meant that seriously without trying to be funny. You know, I just be careful. That's all. When I go, I hope that I don't see anything that gives me the idea that something might happen, because I'm way over the edge when it comes to that. The Bombers in Saskatchewan. I look forward to this game every year. And this year, after what happened in Winnipeg, it's going to be a lot of fun.
If anyone
watched the game between Toronto and Edmonton last week, the announcers couldn't help but fall all over themselves talking about how physical a game it was, and probably the most physical game they've seen all year. Well, folks, I think we've got the game that's going to top that one, and it's going to be Winnipeg in Saskatchewan. It'll start right from the national anthem and then get harder from there. I'm saying this one here, I think Winnipeg's going to exact some revenge, and it's going to be another great game, and this time Winnipeg's going to end up on top. And I don't think it'll be a big win either. It's going to be close. It's going to be very, very close. But it's going to be another great game. The atmosphere in Winnipeg for that game against Saskatchewan was electric. You know, just as the one, you know, in BC with Saskatchewan was. You know, the one thing you can say about Saskatchewan, wherever they go, the electrical level is raised very high. And, you know, they're the team to beat. Grey Cup champs, and I think Winnipeg will do it, probably by a slim margin of no more than 3.5. I'll say 3.5 points, if there is such a thing. How about you, Mike?
Man, you know what, Frank? Excuse me. This is the game that I'm waiting to see. To me, this is going to be the best game of this weekend, CFL, all the CFL games. Now, Winnipeg is going to come back for some revenge, but I got to give it up to, man, to the Riders. The way they're playing, they got all cylinders turning, man. And I think Saskatchewan going to pull this out as another win, maybe about 3 points. But it's going to be a hard-hitting game. And as long as Willie still have his man, Denmark, you know, hey, you never know what might happen, man. He's proven to be one of the best receivers in the league this year. Real, real capable and real dependable when you're throwing the ball. I mean, hey, I got to give it up to Denmark, man. Yeah, most improved. He's doing his thing.
Most improved.
Yep.
How about you there, Bruce John Inch?
Well, I'm going to have to go with
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bombers. I am. Hello?
Okay. Any reason? Okay.
Just because I don't like the Riders. That's my only reason.
It's very easy for you to pick teams. I don't like the Argos. I don't like the Riders.
No, I'm a reason. I just don't like Saskatchewan. Right? And they're both Western teams, so I'm going to have to go with Winnipeg.
Cool.
Okay.
How about you there, Mr. Bale?
Well, guys,
let me guess. You're going for Saskatchewan.
Yeah, it's going to be number 6 in a row. You know me, I'm apt to pick the other team just to cover my own disappointment. But this one just points to green for me. I mean, what a huge week in Ryderville. It's been, you know, basically just elation here for the last 24 hours. You know, everything from Belton Johnson throwing out on Facebook that he's going to guarantee that Weston Dressler signs, and then at about 8 p.m. we hear Oh, Weston Dressler has been spotted at the Ryder office on Saskatchewan Drive and Albert Street, and it's just like election night. Like, that's how, you know, exciting it was for me anyways. And, we've had a huge week. We're not overlooking the Bombers. We know who they are. I believe they've got a hill to climb. We set the tone in this head-to-head matchup this year, and they've got a hill to climb, and I just don't see them being able to do enough. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
I guess for a score, I would go 24-21 Riders.
Yeah, it's going to be close.
Mr. Schmidt.
Yes, well, it should be a good game, but I don't think it will be. I think Saskatchewan's got more talent than Winnipeg, even though I don't like Saskatchewan, but hey, Schmidt happens. But I choose Saskatchewan over Winnipeg 34-24, and Winnipeg's going to be in last place in the West at the end of the season, plain and simple.
Okay. I said my piece on that game, which brings us to the game of interest for this week for me. I don't know where it's being played. I'm not even really sure what day it's being played. But I know one thing. I'll be there, and wherever it is, because the third option is the Sky Dome, or I should say the Rogers Center, which is a great place to watch a football game, even if you're not the home team. And this one here, I'm going with the Argos because I have to. I just can't vote against them. And one of these times I'm going to be right.
Go with the Argos every week.
There you go. And one of these times I'm going to be right.
That's what I do with my stamps, so there you go.
How about you there? Oh, you know what? You go ahead, Storm.
I don't think Hamilton's got the talent to beat Toronto. They're pumped up. I mean, I have nothing against Hamilton. Don't really care for Toronto, but I'm just going with my gut feeling as a sports fan. And Toronto's just going to roll over them 38-15.
Ricky, finally going to have a good game again?
Oh, again? Oh, yeah. Didn't I not say that the last time? Well, not the last one, but the one before.
There you go. That's why I said again.
Mm-hmm. Even though I don't like Ricky Ray himself, but
whatever. Oh, jeez. All right. Kelly.
Just gotta go with the odds.
Yeah. I wish I could say Tie Cats for Bruce's sake, but my head's telling me Argos this weekend and a tight victory. I think 7 points is maybe even 6 points, actually. I'll go 22-16 Argos.
Well, I'll agree with you. How about you, Bruce John Inch? You gonna go with Argos too?
Let me think.
No.
I say 26-16 Hamilton. I know we played Tuesday night in Hamilton. And nobody blows like the Argos, and the Argos suck. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. At least we got a stadium.
That's okay. We'll have a stadium come Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
At least they suck.
Don't bet on it. Don't bet your dog on it.
They should have that in a Las Vegas betting line.
That's what I'm saying. Will Hamilton play at home?
What day and where?
That was going to be the last question I was going to ask, the last prediction I was looking for. What day and time and where will they be playing the game? You'd need a pretty big roulette wheel with all the options.
It's in Ontario.
Yeah, we know that much. maybe they can go play at Bill's Stadium.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was awesome, Storm.
All right, how about you, Mike? Argos, Ticats?
What I want to ask Bruce real quick, who's your starting quarterback this week? Is it Mazzoli?
It would have to be.
Okay. As much as I like the tight catch, man, I had faith in Mazzoli in the beginning, but all he did was disappoint me through all the games he played. I got to go with Toronto, man. 35-20.
Mike, if you're disappointed in Mazzoli, imagine how disappointed Austin is.
Oh, man.
Austin must be beside himself.
He really is. And, you know, Mazzoli showed flashes, but you know what it is? Mazzoli being a short quarterback, I don't think he can see you over the offensive line. And I think that's his problem. You know, can't see all the offensive line. You know, he don't have enough time to roll out where he can throw the ball. So, I mean, I don't see where they're going to get any wins from having Mazzoli as a starting quarterback.
Zach will be back on this game.
Okay.
Bruce,
I hope so.
He'll be back next game.
No, he'll be back this game. He'll be playing.
Oh, okay. Bruce must have seen this today at the first practice at Tim Hortons Field.
Yeah.
Austin looked what I would call his mood would be jovial, and that just seems unfitting for the team that he's got right now. If I was a fan and were one whatever, and Chamberlain was laughing at practice, I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And in his interview today, you're on my Ticat wall, aren't you?
Yeah, I saw that, Bruce.
Yeah, if you watch his interview today, he was kind of saying that, home really, you know what, I don't know, man, it just didn't seem right. But as far as we're concerned, Zach Lowe's will be starting on Labor Day.
Okay, all right.
Because he practiced today. He took all the first-team reps again today.
Taking the first-team reps?
Yeah, he was yesterday, too. And today he did again, and no symptoms were evident today from yesterday. And as far as the coach and Zach is concerned, if no elements become available or prevail again tomorrow morning, he'll be taking team reps and then starting for Labor Day. So. Which is great news.
Well,
and if you watch the interviews after the game.
I have to consider Caleros being in the lineup now. I might have to review my decision on who will win. No, Toronto's still going to win.
Well, there you go. I knew that was coming. But no, but we do have Brandon Banks won't be playing. CJ Gable, he's out. And That other dude, name's not on my tip of my tongue. He ran back one a couple of weeks ago before Banks did.
McDuffie?
Thank you. Yeah, he won't be playing.
No? McDuffie still won't be playing?
No, he's out.
He was one of my favorite players, new players this year.
Same with
Quincy McDuffie, yep.
Yeah, same with me.
Me too, yep.
Now,
he's electrifying.
Totally. So, who have we got left? Mike, you did the Storm. You didn't do Toronto. You did Toronto Hamilton.
Yeah.
Kelly, you did Toronto Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we all did Toronto Hamilton. So that brings us to the final game of the week, the Battle of Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
If Edmonton goes into Calgary and plays with the same physicality with the Stampeders, it's going to be a little harder for them to out-physical Calgary. And even against Toronto, it was so physical in the first half, I think Edmonton wore themselves out, not only physically, but emotionally. They won't have as an easy time against Calgary. I believe that Edmonton owes Calgary a loss, and I think they might squeak one out. But for them to get the victory, Calgary's going to have to give up the ball. It's going to be because of turnovers. It'll be the only reason why Calgary loses. If Calgary can hang on to the ball, they'll win. But I'll call Edmonton by three in this one.
Well, it's the last time I picked Toronto for you.
Okay, I changed my... No.
Yeah,
Edmonton
yeah.
by three. You might as well go ahead, Weiner.
No, I want to go last.
Okay, you want to go last. All right, so that we'll go we went the other way. So, okay, we'll go with Mike this time. Mike?
The way Calgary played this last game, even though they played the Red Blacks, you know, they really played a tremendous game, and I don't see Calgary not slowing down. And as far as Edmonton goes, I don't know, man. To me, the jury's still out on Edmonton. You know what I'm saying? They are Western teams. And if they have any type of slack in their offense, man, Calgary's going to run away with it. And I'm picking Calgary 28-17.
Oh, I didn't ask a question, and I'm not sure. Is Riley out for the next game? Is his thumb better?
I didn't hear any reports about Riley, but
I haven't heard that he's out.
They got Nichols.
Yeah, and that's what I say, and that's what I believe. How about you there, Mr. Bruce John Inch?
Hello.
Hello.
What was my question?
Edmonton, Calgary. They're playing on Monday.
Hmm.
Labor Day game.
Like more. I'm going to go with Edmonton.
Come on, John, get off the weed.
Hey, no, I was watching the show. I had it on mute, sorry. And then I heard my name, so. It has nothing to do with the weed.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But,
Where is the
weed's
game?
Already
Edmonton?
Been the den.
Said
it's in Calgary.
Oh, Calgary.
I'm still going to go with Edmonton.
Okay.
Is Riley playing? Did we already establish that?
Well, we don't know if he's hurt or not for sure, because there's no mention of it. You know what? Players by team. Edmonton.
I'm going to go with Edmonton by 10. Yes, sir. Edmonton by 10.
Well, you're really. Well, he's on the roster.
Well, there you go. Enough.
He's still on the roster, so he's good to go.
I say let him sit. Shoot. Nick, you got Nichols, man. Come on. You got to play it out of his mind.
There you go.
Yeah, he did good. No. That's right, too. He came in for him. He did all right.
Oh, yeah.
He's
absolutely.
A quarterback.
That's true. I forgot about that.
He won the game. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good quarterback.
He's capable. And, guys, it's the same thing for me in Saskatchewan this week. It's like, you know, I love Durant. I just got my jersey finished. Like, I'm a huge DD fan, but if he has to sit this week, I'm happy with Tino starting against Winnipeg because he's a ball control guy. He's already shown this season, last game, that he's not going to throw the ball into double coverage or triple coverage. He's going to throw it to the sidelines or take the sack. And he can hand the ball off just as well as Durant can. I mean, we got four capable running backs. It's just a matter of who's firing at the top level. And these guys are going to come in and do what they do. And it's the same thing in this Battle of Alberta, too.
Yep. I agree.
So who are you picking?
Yeah.
Well, I guess in this Battle of Alberta, I'm taking the Eskimos.
There you go.
I honestly believe the Eskimo
Mr.
defense
Schmidt
has been stronger.
He's never
going to
pick
Calgary
another team again.
Calgary's more of like a great defensive team, but Edmonton has some individuals that can make some plays. And, you know, I really see Edmonton being hyped up and playing well in Calgary this weekend. So I'm going to take them. I'm going to say 27-17.
So you save by 10, too. You're
yep.
good. Uh-huh. See?
Okay, the man of the hour, or I should say the man of the 2 hours, Storm Schmidt, Edmonton in Calgary. Who are you picking?
That's a tough one. Anyways,
Edmonton?
Okay, let's go with one thing right off the bat. Bo Levi Mitchell, Hugh Charles, Mo Price, Joe West, Cornish, Raymond.
And let's remind people that Mo Price is back.
Yes.
He's an additional
tool.
And the whole team.
Best defense in the league. Defense does win games. Offense does too. It's a team project, right? And you know what? The Stamps will prevail, and it's not going to be close. It's going to be 31-17 Stamps.
Well, I hope you're right.
Stamps have not let up. The only time the Stamps let more than 26 points was against BC. And they'll not let another – they'll never get above 30 points against on their defense on their team.
I don't know.
Period.
Oh, in the words of Manasseh, come on now.
I could
come
be wrong.
Really?
I've been wrong before, but
– This is all about opinion. You're entitled to your opinion.
And Mike, you know what? This is the game of the week, the Stamps and Edmonton, Mike. Sorry to say to burst your bubble, but the Stamps and Edmonton is the game of the week. The last time,
it's number one and number one. You know, they're tied right now, so it really is. You know,
and they were last time they played,
the
last time they played.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's huge.
Well, you know,
two games are huge. They're just.
And you know what? The Battle of Alberta is always a good game, anyway. So, it's gonna be them one and two. Them gonna be the number one and two games of the week, man. I'm not discounting the rest of the games, but I think the Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, and the Battle of Alberta, them gonna be some hard hitting, close and fun games to watch this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. So am I. Like, I'm just schmitting myself thinking about it.
Yeah. And you know what, guys? Anybody have any news on Fred Stamps? Is he still out, or what's going on? Because I haven't read nothing. So I'm thinking
he's at the post office waiting to get mailed out.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
Something's not up with that. There's something weird going on with that situation, so I don't know.
He's definitely he's available on the TSN fantasy pool, but I would seriously advise against picking him because he hasn't played a single down of football since God knows when.
And you know what? I made this post. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. And the CFL is, I was just getting a lot of feedback, but really. To be truly, and I love Fred Stamps, and I wanted him to win a championship with the Edmonton Eskimos again. But I think his time is done in Edmonton, man. I really do. I think if he don't come back this year, and they get another receiver that can come in and take his place, man, he's done.
Yeah, you can put a stamp on that.
Yep. There you go.
Maybe
there's some behind the wall that maybe me, you, and everybody else don't know, though, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe he's not getting along with he doesn't feel like a part of the team. New management, maybe.
New. I didn't I say at the beginning of the season before we talked, maybe he might not get along with Chris Jones? I did say that.
Well, he might not.
It's a lot. It could be a lot going on behind doors that we don't know. And
it's sad
I guess
because
he's
a great player. It's sad, but he's a great player. But, you know, like I say, Schmidt happens, and you can't fill the place. And like I say, we don't know what's happening in his personal life or whatever it has to do with.
Whatever it is, he's not playing as well as he can. And sometimes people need a change. And it doesn't have to be for any specific reason. There could be a million reasons why a change is necessary.
Yeah, even though he says change is good.
Yeah, go ahead and trade him to Ottawa. I bet you he'd come back healthy then. He'd be ready to play then. Bird needs somebody. Needs some help over there, man. Shoot, it wouldn't hurt him. Trade him. Cause you got
Ottawa, Montreal, and Hamilton and Toronto need all the help they can, so just take who you can. What the heck?
Right. Now, guys, with your respective teams, with these NFL cuts coming along, man, Bruce, I want to ask you first. Is Hamilton targeting anybody from the NFL, any quarterbacks or receivers or anything on the negotiation list?
Not that I heard of. Austin was asked that question when LaFeva went down if they're going to look for anybody, and his answer was a firm no. So that, okay. if that helps you out. But I wouldn't mind asking the question just on a CFL note, since the other three teams released their uniforms since we last talked, what you thought of them. Because
I like to discuss Hamilton.
Isn't that killer?
Hamilton. Yes.
I like
that
a lot, man. I just wish they made the jerseys for the fans a little bit different, man. Like on the upper shoulders, how they have the tiger claws there, the tiger stripes. They're not having that on the uniform or the jerseys that they're selling at the store. That's my only beef.
Wow, them jerseys are nice. I looked at them. I was like, wow.
I like them. I'm gonna go down maybe tomorrow and get mine. But I'm gonna put my own name on it this time. I'm not gonna buy any more player jerseys.
They keep getting traded.
I'm done with that.
Hey, Bruce, I'm still waiting for my Chad Johnson jersey to get here, man.
You ordered one?
3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, I ordered one, man.
Takes
like
that long? Wow.
Ago, man. Yeah.
That's why you don't put a number on the back of your shirt or get the name on the back of the shirt, because they could be gone the next game.
I know. I said
that's how
so
I
many years
it.
In a row, but I kept doing it. But this time I'm getting Bruce 13th man on the back with the number 9, because I've been a season ticket holder since 2009, so that's why I'm going for the 9.
Oh, good for you. You used the thought process in it.
I did. Actually, my nephew gave me that thought,
because
he's got one.
Now you're going to have to change your name to Bruce 9, 9-inch.
I don't get that. I don't get the nine inch nail. I don't get that.
You don't get a 9-inch nail?
I get that. The group, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I tell you, the other jersey that I'm going to order when my Montreal jersey gets here. Now, I said I wasn't gonna order no more jersey like Bruce said with no other names on the back of it, but I have to get me a Ricky Ray jersey, man. I have to get it.
I got one.
He's done.
I have to get me a Ricky Ray jersey. Just a simple fact of his years in the CFL and the things that he's done in the league, being a general of the CFL, man, I got to have a Ricky Ray jersey. I'm not taking it from all the other quarterbacks, but I got to get a Ray jersey.
I got to see if in the clearance rack in Edmonton whether they have a Ricky Ray jersey. I wouldn't mind a Ricky Ray Edmonton jersey.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
that's,
me either. Yes.
Not with those corn outfits. Like, come on now.
And I really like the Montreal helmet. The new one.
Montreal's uniforms are, I'd say, second to best.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I really like their helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you, it's them jerseys are nice, man. I like some of them jerseys. Some better than others. Now, Winnipeg was it was okay.
Yeah, I think Manasse was onto something when he said that they were releasing the worst to the best. You know, this release of Hamilton, I like it. It's very superhero-ish.
I see it more like a villain.
No, well, yes, super villain perhaps then.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see...
Yeah, but that's what they're going for, don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
They're going for that superhero thing.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people have commented on that, so I'm going to have to agree with it.
Well, you look at TV these days, and, like, 4 out of the 5 new shows that are dramas on TV are, like, based on, like, comic books, essentially, guys. Like,
yeah.
This is what people are craving these days.
And the poses the players are making.
Look at the crap that's going on around the world right now. People need a sideline, and that's what's great about the CFL for Americans, I have to remind everybody, is, you know, in those doldrums of summer, you're just dying for some football. You gotta watch this stuff. I mean, it's great. I mean, you'd be able to relate to guys from colleges and, like, maybe even friends of yours are playing in the CFL. You gotta watch this stuff. It's nonstop action.
I agree.
Did you see Riley's face when they introduced him to the new uniform? He wasn't too happy.
No doubt.
Cornfield, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't look too good to me, but then again, I've never liked Edmonton colors anyway, so, I mean, what do I have to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, You know, I got to go back on something Kelly said. This year alone, man, I have put maybe like 20 of my friends up on the CFL, and they love it. They absolutely love it. I got a friend in South Carolina. Red Blacks is his favorite team.
I need to get him to call in.
I told him I was going to give him a call in, man. He's like, man, I got to watch the game, man, just this season alone so I can know the rules and know how everything go. Then I'll call in, man, but I got to watch it first because I want to seem crazy on the show. I said, man, you'll be okay. You'll fit in. You'll fit in just right.
We're all crazy.
Yeah. I had a god brother of mine, man. He watched Calgary and somebody played some weeks ago, and he watched it. He called me. He was like, man, what's with the forward motion? He said, man, I'm looking at the receivers, and they're moving, and blah, blah, blah. He said, man, that's kind of sweet. So, you know, he's starting to watch the CFL, too. You know, it's been picked up down in the States real well, but we got a lot of more people watched it, man, because they want to know about three-down football, and they're like, man, it's fast-paced, 20-second play clock. He's like, man, the NFL need to get this because the NFL make the games go long, and, you know, the CFL was fast. He's like, man, I couldn't even keep up because it was going so fast.
But yeah, you know why the NFL has the 30-second clock, right? That's another commercial.
No, oh, yeah.
That's another commercial.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right. You know, and that's the mastery of what TSN does with the CFL broadcast is they package it into a 3-hour broadcast, and that's part of why we think it's so good. Like, really, when you really look at it, you know, there's a lot of things to be corrected about the TSN broadcast, but overall, it's a piece of work.
I don't think when you look at probably the budget they have to do, you know, think of it for a second. It's back to the same discussion about going to an NFL game or going to a CFL game. You know, it's how much you invest and how much you get back. You know, TSN gets a lot more back for what they invest. But I really believe that TSN, this sounds kind of corny, but they really love the fact that it's their league. It's their game, and, you know, it's all theirs. And everything they do for CFL fans, and every CFL fan knows who TSN are. And I think that's a place where TSN can hang its hat and be proud of. There aren't many, you know, in hockey, everybody has hockey. Everybody has baseball. Everybody has, you know what I mean? Everybody has soccer. But TSN is the only one that has the CFL. And I think that if they treat it with the kind of respect that I'd hope they would. They've done, you know, for me, when I hear TSN, I always think of the Bassetts. When I was a kid, I watched Channel 9, CFTO, CTV, one of the first CTV stations, maybe even the first to be born. And I watched it open and start. It was 1960, I think. And it has a history. TSN has a history when it comes to sports. And it shows. You know, they have a deep history in sport. I love the way they treat the CFL.
I love it, too.
Fantastic job.
Yeah.
I do, too.
And you know what, guys?
Chris Cuthbert is the best announcer out there, I think, in my opinion.
Well, you can tell.
CFL or NFL?
Yeah.
CFL or NFL?
Well, I don't care about the NFL. I don't think there's a broadcaster that knows the CFL as well as he does.
Yeah, for sure. Or a broadcaster that knows the NFL as well as Chris Cuthbert knows the CFL.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You could. That. Sure. You could put it that way. I have a lot of respect for Cuthbert. And well, he's a neighbor. He lives in Oakville, down the street a bit. Don't know him. Never bumped into him. Oh yes, I did. I lie. I was with him in the booth. I got him to sign my horn.
That sounded sick.
Only if you have a dirty mind. And those that know me know that my horn ain't big enough. Never mind. There's it won't fit an autograph on there. Maybe in this.
It won't fit Cuthbert on there.
Because he can't get
maybe
it up.
His initials. Maybe his initials.
You should get Bob Orr.
There you go. Robert Gordon Orr. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know he is the best. He is the best. I love the way he I know people pick on Rod Black, and I know a lot of people don't like him. I'm not going to say I don't know why people don't like him. I can understand why they don't like him. Not because I don't like him, but I can understand why. But Cuthbert's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
He's a unique
announcer. Guaranteed he'll be doing Calgary's game on Monday. Well, I'm not guaranteed, but I'm assuming that he's
going. You'll know which game TSN thinks is the best game because he'll be doing it.
Yeah.
That's yeah, right. And I believe he's an Alberta boy like McLean from the CBC days. I think he's from Alberta, isn't he?
I know that he lives in Oakville now, and I know he's a Western boy, but I'm not sure where his roots are. But you're probably right. I wouldn't doubt that you're right.
I mean, if he's from Saskatchewan, I would know about it.
Yeah, no kidding. And we would know about it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, who's
as you would tell us.
Who's yeah. Who's the worst announcer for the TSN?
Oh, it's got to be Rod Black. I mean, I think everybody. But how about going back a little further, guys? How about
bad news.
John
bad
and
news.
Jack Wells?
He was born in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how about John and Jack Wells from back in the day? Like,
they're the best.
They're the worst. He would call Saskatchewan Winnipeg all the time.
Like the Howie Meeker of the NHL.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you guys what, I do enjoy the halftime shows. The halftime panel, man. You know, with Stego, Dunnigan. You know, I enjoy them, man. It's like
I love Dunnigan.
Every week, man.
I'm beginning to love Dunnigan more and more.
He's a character, man. He cracks me up.
Oh, he's not afraid to tell the truth.
You're right.
He's not afraid to tell the truth.
And what I like about it, man, their set that they have, their panel, their set that they have, the background set, it looks real nice. You know what I'm saying? And I got to give it to the CFL, man. They improved in a lot of ways, man, having the halftime panel. You know, I like Jock Climby when he's on there sometimes. You know, he's not really one of my favorites because I'm a Milt Stegall guy, man. I like Milt Stegall. You know what I'm saying? But I like when they talk football, then they go to the little beautiful lady sitting back in the back and she talks sports. I mean, I like that, man. That's sweet. I like that.
Well, I like the arguments back and forth with the panel. That's cool. I like it. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not gonna just because I'm on TV, you're not gonna change my mind. I'm saying it how it is.
Mm-hmm. And I like the way they have the way they make it even the halftime very football-y with the football, the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this year they've started to do the get up and get into patterns or whatever. And
oh no, are they doing that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they get up and you know Schulte sets up as the pass rusher or the O lineman. Snapping the ball, and Matt gets behind him, and Climby's receiving or playing DB. Hilarious.
Yeah, man, you know.
I was going to say
yeah, it's real nice.
What I'd like to see is TSN has a real asset in Cabral Richards, Cabby, and I'd like to see him get more involved with the CFL.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why Cabby's not all over CFL, man. Like, come on, Cabby. Where's your heart at?
Where's your football?
They probably took him for a drug test and failed, so they fired him.
Well, I tell you guys, man, CFL next couple of years, we're going to see a lot of surprises. We're going to see a lot of surprises, a lot of major announcements, and we're going to see a lot of Southern players from the South come up to CFL.
Yeah. What do you guys think about everybody's prediction this week seems to be Riders going to the Grey Cup, going to do it again.
Kelly, to take the opposite position in that, as I want to do, Can you imagine if you guys lose in the East or the Western final, or lose in the Eastern final in the crossover? How, you know, mass suicide all over Saskatchewan. They lose to Montreal in the Eastern final.
Yeah, it would be a tough one to take against Montreal. That'd be sure. But
hey, Frank,
yeah.
and then Chad Johnson catches the winning touchdown.
Hey, there you go.
Well, Mike, and you're Chad Johnson. My God, the guy, really? Come on now.
So nobody
hey,
else.
He got a quarterback. Back and throw him the ball now. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have one at first.
I don't care if you have Bo Levi Mitchell. I mean, Chad Johnson is just not the player for Montreal, plain and simple.
Wow, Bo
I like
Levi
Montreal.
Mitchell
That's my
becomes
second
an important
favorite.
Player.
Montreal is my second favorite team, don't get me wrong. But, you know, just like how many quarterbacks do you have to bring in, or how many receivers you have to bring in, or how many offensive line, defensive, like how many, you know, what's it going to take?
Yeah.
Fire Higgins, plain and simple, right now. Do it now.
You know, another thing that I look forward to on Labor Day is, and the following week, the home-and-home week for the CFL teams, is that Alberta matchup. And the reason why I like it is because Edmonton and Calgary pound the crap out of one another for 2 weeks, and then we pick up the leftovers, and I think the Riders' next four games are pretty manageable. I think we could win at least three out of the next four, and then we play Calgary and Edmonton down the stretch with a bit of BC and maybe one Eastern team. So, I think our chances are real good to go 12 wins, which I believe I predicted earlier on this spring.
It's a toss-up.
And that's just before they lose in the Eastern Final to Montreal.
Like I said, you know what I would love? I would love Edmonton, Calgary, and the Grey Cup in BC. That would be sweet as grandma's pie.
There's a song by Supertramp. You ever heard it?
No, what's the name of it?
Dreamer.
Oh yeah.
It's such a silly dreamer.
Hey, but y'all know what though? I hope really in the CFL, I hope they follow that rule or change it where the best two teams, brother, it's the East or West, playing the Grey Cup, man. You know, all this East versus West, I think it should be just the teams that go through the playoffs, whether it's East or West, getting the Grey Cup game. That would be real.
I disagree, Mike. I think the Grey Cup game should be decided by whoever wins against the Argos.
I like that idea, Mike. I think it's a great idea. It kind of reminds me of the Alaska Aces playing the Ottawa Silver Seven in the early days of the Stanley Cup, and that's the way it worked. That's the way it worked in all the early rugby unions across this country in the turn of the century. The best two teams played each other in the final, and there was no playoff format. It was just a season, which was essentially an indicative round robin that was interpreted by a board.
Yep. Yeah, put them in their slot numbers. Number one plays against number
just number like the eight or number NCAA, five. Just like the BCA National Championship.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay, Mike, this is your chance to say your phrase. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We're down to the last minute or so. Real quick, Storm? Calgary wins.
Calgary wins. I just want to say one quick thing. They should go back to what they had before, best two out of three in the playoffs.
There you go. How about you? Last comment, Mr. Kelly Bale.
Thank you very much for having me, Frank. It's always a pleasure.
Now, I'm getting some messages that some people want us to extend the show an extra half hour.
Oh, wow.
That wouldn't be Don.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. And apparently, if I want to live long, I got to end the show.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, it's your call, buddy.
All right, y'all. Mike has finally left the building. Good night.
And I'm Frank, Candid Frank Live, which stands for CFL. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Monday and Wednesday, unless Frank gets sick, it's Thursday. See you next time. Have a great weekend, everyone, and enjoy week 10.